Welcome back to the Blunt Force Gamers podcast. We have taken the last month off because it's hot as fucking balls.
We've also had a bit of real life aggro, but
it goes. Hot as fucking balls.
I don't know about you, but my titty sweat has had titty sweat.
See? And I've had so much swamp ass this last month at work. Anyway, we're back in August, sweating our balls off and titty sweat underneath titty sweat to bring you more gaming podcast fun shenanigans. So, Darth Blasphemous is joining me with, again, our special guest star, Fat Matt.
Recognize?
Our first topic up today is real-life combat, inspired by a recent, altercation at Gen Con.
Right.
So real-life combat versus in-game combat. Because, yes, there's a goddamn difference.
Yeah, but have fun trying to explain that to fucking gamers who seem to think that you should just be able to fucking up, left, right, uppercut somebody, and it's just that simple.
Word.
I mean, it's really bad.
But... And our second topic is... I don't know.
Well, I mean, something big that's coming up is Star Wars. I mean, we talk about how there's supposedly a live action...
Are we still referring to Star Wars as something big?
Eh.
Okay, second topic in the second half hour is going to be Star Wars stuff. So,
yeah.
Buckle up, kiddos. Here we go. Roll the intro.
Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
And that was a snazzy intro.
Wow.
Should be. You were shadow dancing.
I know, right? It's because it still plays in my head. I edited it so many fucking times.
At least he's not in his kilt today.
Oh, thank God for that. I don't need to see the waterfalls of sweat coming down his
legs. But that's how I could win real-life combat with gamers, is just show them the bubble gum.
Oh, would that work?
Oh, yeah. The bubble gum would work. And today, the bubble gum is really spicy.
Well, so on our first topic, combat IRL compared to gaming. I've had a lot of discussions and had to finagle a few things in my own game recently for combat. In Pathfinder, which is the main one I go off of in my game, especially some of the creatures, they have full attacks where they get a bite, a slash, and then maybe a tail grab. But when it comes to real life, I always calculate as, all right, this creature just leapt out of, you know, the water or something. It'll maybe get one attack. I'll give it that as a negative. But when people are talking about fighting in real life, we all have lightsabers now. And we've done
wait.
Combat.
I feel it's very, very important to clarify that these aren't, quote, real lightsabers.
These are combat.
These are combat sparring replicas.
I do not see lightsaber because that would be copyright infringement. I see psionic spirit blade.
I would say psionic spirit blade, but... I'm less afraid of Disney copyrighting us than I am of that spirit science guy. Apparently, he's on a multidimensional level, bro.
Yeah.
And without the guidance of Hemlock Moonwolf and the Earth Mother to protect us, yeah, I don't think I want to mess with spirit science guy. So, fuck Disney, I have a lightsaber.
Okay, fair enough.
You keep your spirit spear.
But we've been doing a bit of combat out in the parking lot. We've had several discussions with people about stuff like this, and then seeing it compared to gaming when people are like, oh, well, my character wields this, you know, giant two-handed sword, but he has the monkey grip feet, so he can use just one hand and swing it. Yes, I'm talking about you, Narciss. It was very cool, but I started thinking about it in real life. So.
I've only seen a monkey grip one thing one-handed and swing it, and it's a shit show, bro. You don't want to be around for it.
Well... On that topic, I actually have a very large weapon in the other room. Blasphemous is obviously
seen. I fell for that one time in prison. Never again.
No, well, hey, it's a replica of the Final Fantasy sword that breaks apart into several pieces.
Yeah.
The thing is like a fucking car door on a stick.
Wait a minute. Is this one of those, like, chain whip sword things?
No. I'll get it in a moment. Just let me make my point here real quick. This thing is fucking heavy as shit. Right? And even if I break it apart into one blade, it only weighs a quarter of what it normally did.
Gotcha.
And it still weighs a fuck ton. I only get one good swing with this, and if I miss, I am fuck.
That's my problem with LARP game nerds, specifically my buddy Judd and Shaver and them. These idiots, and yes, I call them idiots to their faces, and I will let them know that this podcast exists so they can hear me call them idiots, are running around with PVC piping with foam around it, and then they wrap it in what is essentially a pillowcase. I mean, they're basically having male pillow fights on a stick, and what's hilarious is they pride themselves on stupid stuff like the weight of the weapon and all this other crap and how realistic it is, but what they don't understand is it weighs basically nothing because it's PVC piping and foam, and so they're out there swinging, like, nonstop for, like, a freaking hour. What they don't understand is in real life, if you are holding a real sword, you're not getting in that many damn swings.
No.
I really hate people that don't understand that stamina is a thing. Jesus, this multi-sectional sword thing is both heavy and completely not
practical.
At all. There are screws and bolts in your blade.
Yes. I told you, dude, you only get one good swing.
Is this
with that.
A shotgun pump?
No.
It's I'm a pretty handle. Sure that's a shotgun pump.
That's the handle for one of the other blades.
That handle is ribbed for her pleasure.
Yes, it is.
This is stupid. And yeah, again, this is the kind of thing that, like, Final Fantasy people are like, no, it's so cool. No, it's not. This is dumb. If you showed up, even if I knew you were going to kill me with this, I would die with a laugh.
Dude, it's cool to look at. Not to use. That's right? The only reason I got it was I wanted to put it on the wall one day.
Put it on the wall? You need a stud finder to find where the support beams are to hold that heavy bitch.
Yep.
I am a bit of a chubby chaser, and I have literally hooked up with fat girls that weigh less than that.
But that's also one of the big things we were discussing, because I want to build my second lightsaber replica, well, third, really, to be a curved handle. And with discussion with guys...
You unless... know nothing about fighting with a curved handle. You have no idea how much it irritates me every time you bring this up. You are the master of, I got it because it looked pretty.
Damn, Skippy. But I don't do it that often.
You don't have to do it that often if you do it every single time that you do it.
But that's one of the things is, in real life, fighting styles, especially with weapons, you know... Sword fighting takes a lot of practice, a lot of technique, and yeah, the thing's fucking heavy. You're throwing around a piece of fucking metal that weighs, what, a sword can weigh up to, what, like 5-6 pounds on a good day?
And more.
Yeah.
Well, so, I don't know, dude. I normally go with Florentine style or, yeah, I'll do Florentine or the other two weapon styles, but most of fighting that I've been in for actual practice, not with foam weapons where we're using dulled blades... Most of the fight is defensive. You're looking for that opening in your opponent's armor to get that kill shot in. So when people are running around with foam bats, they're just swinging them around all wild and shit because there's no real danger.
That's the thing, too. It's not only is there no real danger. Again, I'm talking about Judd, Shaver, and all those other tard LARPers. Castle, respect for you, bro. But no, they're running around and they're wildly swinging these things at each other. To the point where they actually semi-injure, and by semi-injure, I mean like somebody might like take a nick to the eye because it's still a pillow fight with sticks, but there's really no need to learn to dodge or avoid because there's no pain involved. And if it doesn't hurt, you don't learn to stop letting it happen.
Yeah, learning to block people swinging things at me came in real handy when we were using dull blades because those things fucking hurt.
Right. Well, that's why me and the guys, you know, Blasphemous has shinies. Those are great because the bamboo freaking hurts and pinches. All right. We used to fight with bowkens back in the day. Those are made out of oak. Those hurt like a son of a bitch.
Oh, yes.
And you learn really fucking quick how to defend yourself and how to move. I don't know if you guys watch most LARPs. They will fucking stand in one place and they will move either forward or backwards. There's no side movement, no twist, no nothing, because they're not actually afraid of what they're being swung at.
True that. And one of the other things, too, is like in role-playing, almost all fights, to bring in a visual here, are kind of like the old Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, turn-based.
Turn-based. You know, in role-playing games, it's like, okay, dude, your turn, and then you go on, and they do their thing, and you go, okay, next turn. It's a tactical simulation, in a way. And I've been in enough real-world fights to know that the best way to win is just go ape shit. There is no turn.
Right.
You just launch yourself at your opponent and pray to God you beat them down before they beat you down.
I was always told my entire life by my older brother, Andrew, respect, that if you find yourself in a fair fight, your tactics suck. Yeah. That's all there is to it. The person that cries about the fight not being fair is the person that doesn't know how to fight.
There is no such thing as a fair fight. Not anymore. Maybe back in, like, the 40s when they did that weird chicken punch thing.
Those fights weren't fair either, because what if I wasn't taught how to properly curve my arms like a reverse T-Rex and swing at somebody with my backhand? The more that I'm thinking about it now that you've struck that pose, I'm pretty sure all those fights were literally just rock'em sock'em robot. Yeah.
Come
back
on, good
hand. Like, oh my god.
And see, that's another thing. You think about it. In role-playing games, a lot of times they break it down to 6 seconds is what you get to do on your turn. That's your attack, your everything.
In a real fight, 6 seconds is for fucking ever.
Yeah.
You know,
the last time I got my ass kicked, 6 seconds, yeah, that was an eternity and a half. But then again, you know, that it's a long time, because it's also one of the other things, too, that's different about real life and role-playing games. Is last time I got my ass thoroughly handed to me. And of all things, it was by like a 220-pound fucking drunken Marine. So I'm like, hey, yeah, you're really stepping up your game by beating my ass, dude. But this guy, when he actually, he was a southpaw, which caught me off guard.
Right.
Motherfucker. But after he southpawed me, I went to the ground because I was off balance. And the dude starts literally stomping on my head. That 6 seconds felt like for fucking eternity. You don't have time to go, well, I'm going to roll gently to the left.
I'm just saying, dude, I cannot even count on two hands the number of women that I could disappoint in 6 seconds.
Well, I think that goes for all of us in the room.
Listen, if you don't believe me, ladies, I'm willing to prove it.
Let me get my shoes off, because I'm going to need more fingers and things to count with how many disappointments are on my record.
Well, you can only get up to 21, sir.
I have cutlery. I can count higher. It'll hurt, but I can do it.
Are we counting that giant sword as cutlery?
No, I have lots of swords.
To quote most gaming LARPers, it would look cool.
It does.
Not practical for making
it looks
TV
cool, but
it's
wildly impractical. But I do have practical weapons in the other room. Gotcha, I'm not bringing them out for display because I've got too many to go through boxes on that shit. But yeah, 6 seconds, fucking forever. And in a real fight, you almost have virtually no time to strategize. It's all instinct. You just go.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between that and roleplay, unless you're playing like a game where they have active combat system where you have to mash the buttons as fast as you can to get the victory, that's the closest you're going to get to any sort of real life versus gaming.
So here's my whole point of what bugs me on this topic. Mm. All right. It's when you have people that are LARPers or gamers, video gamers, tabletop, whatever the fuck it is, video gamer, I don't care.
Yeah.
When you have these people that are hardcore gamers that have never been in a fight in their life, like if you took their shoe off and looked at the bottom of their foot, it is still stamped bitch made, right? These people have never been in a fight in their life, and then they will see something like somebody getting jumped or something like that, and then they want to sit there and tell you in great depth all the things that they would have done differently in that situation.
And the fucked up part is, I've been in that situation, and there are people who literally have had their asses handed to them, like right in front of me and others, and people will be like, oh, well, you know, they should have just, you know, turned around and elbowed him or whatever. I'm like, dude, that's not how it works.
Oh, one of my favorite moments in life, really quickly, before I forget this, because you guys know my brain races.
Mm.
Darth Narsis. Mm. Long story short, back in the day, railed his old lady like a bunch. And it started a bitter feud between us because I was a fucking dickbag, and I want to get that clear on the record. I was the douche in this situation. All right? So, I had to allow this dude to punch me in the face as hard as he wanted as part of the, you know, forgiveness Healing. Situation. He hit me as hard as he could. I saw black, and it takes a lot for me to black out. I saw black. He can hit pretty damn hard. When I say I saw black, I don't just mean him. He is also black.
Late.
But our buddy Mario, who for the record has never been in a fight in his life, was also in the same boat, by which I mean he also banged dude's ex. And so, Narsis got to hit him that night as well. Narsis hit Mario so hard that Mario's legs collapsed out from underneath him. My brother had to catch him on the way down. About 15 seconds later, after Mario's had time to catch his breath and realize what just happened to him, he looks at us and says, I should kick his ass. Now we had to explain to him, this guy just one-shotted you, okay? One shot. And he wasn't even aggressively trying to beat your ass. And you, who has never been in a fight, thinks that there's a way that this is going to play out different.
Yeah. It's kind of a good example here recently was that guy punching the Antifa member down in Portland. The guy had a stick. He comes at him, and the dude responds. There was no time for thinking. There was very little room for maneuvering between both of them. And the Proud Boys still got the win by knocking the guy retarded with one punch. But that entire fight was nothing like any sort of role-playing game. It was all a quick stimuli and response action.
But wait, I've got it. I literally had someone tell me this in real life at work. Well, you see, it's like in Wanted. You just, all of a sudden your heart starts pumping and you can think so much faster. I facepalmed. And I was like, dude, are you serious? He's like, well, yeah, you know. And I've been taking karate since I was in elementary school. I'm like, oh my god.
Okay, the problem with karate and street fighting is karate is normally practiced in a safe environment. It is not street fighting.
All right.
It has
rules. Would you call it a safe space?
Right.
In comparison to street fighting, it is totally a safe space.
Look, let's be clear. It's grown men in pajamas slapping each other.
Even if there's no ref and you agree to spar with somebody else, there are still rules that you're following due to your training. In a street fight, when somebody comes at you, you don't know what the rules are because there are no rules.
All right, check it out. I got chloroformed one time at my own birthday party. And for legal reasons, I'm not going to explain where the chloroform came from. But the first thing I tell you is that movies are bullshit because when you get chloroformed, all right, you don't get a struggle for a minute and a half before you go under. Everything instantly starts going black. The rag slipped up a little bit. I start catching my breath. I start fighting back, right? Now, apparently, I'm kicking, I'm punching, managed to get my hand up behind my head, fish hook my fingers into the other guy's cheek, and pull him over my shoulders in a flip. Now, the one thing I can tell you is there was absolutely zero thought involved. In a real fight, things don't slow down. I'm not James McAvoy. I can't curve a bullet. Okay, adrenaline doesn't make your brain think slower. It's rather the opposite. And you just start acting on instinct. And my buddy that I wound up fish hooking is my buddy Bones. He was like, dude, that was gnarly. That should be your signature move. And I had to even explain to him. I'm like, dude, that was instinct. I don't think I could do that again given 100 opportunities.
Yeah.
In a real fight, it's muscle memory and you in a panic equals fight.
I know. I think the best advice I got from one guy, and it was kind of hilarious given both of our backgrounds, but we're sitting there while I'm getting the tattoo. And this dude loved to get in the fights. In fact, he had been in one the weekend before and still had the bruises to show for it. The other guy pulled a 2x4 off of a pile of 2x4s and started waylaying him. So he grabs a 2x4 and starts hitting him back. This was what the guy considered fun. And I was like, dude, how do you win so many fights? He's like, oh, the answer's simple. Go ape shit. Just lose your cool and just throw everything you got at the other guy.
Now rewind that story, and now let's bring in the gamer's perspective.
Yeah, the gamer's
perspective. What I want to know is why your buddy then karate chopped the 2x4 the other guy was swinging in midair in order to break it.
Maybe his strength stat wasn't high enough, or he didn't have the dex.
Well, why didn't he save before the fight and then go grind over at the bar for a little bit?
I do
the
not
grinding
know.
Of actual fight and not grinding up on dudes at the bar. I don't want to get blasphemous excited about how pre-fights are.
I still like the re-edits where people get into fights and they do like the number splashes above their heads.
Right, love those. But like, you can go on YouTube and look up actual videos of people actually street fighting. You know, one of the biggest things that you'll find in common, most of them do not last more than a minute.
Yeah, it's way different than game fighting. It's karate dojos versus street fighting, versus role-playing games, they're all way different. And even, like, the SEA guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're training out there, but in the end, you know, some of these guys do have some mad skills. But they're still fighting with boffers. There's no real inherent danger.
All right, I'm going to chime in here. You said earlier you were mentioning the difference between a trained fighter and a dojo.
Special guest, Silent Bruno.
But, not so silent, Bruno.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
But you were mentioning how there's a difference between street fighting and trained fighting in a dojo.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, I was down with family, and me, my brother, and my cousin ended up getting into a fight. Well, my cousin is an actual trained MMA fighter, has fought in the octagon and everything, and he was threatening to kick our asses. My brother, on the other hand, is a street fighter. And the way he went about it is he simply is like, you don't understand. You fight to rules. I'll just grab a knife. Game over.
Yeah.
That's the difference between a street fighter and a trained in a dojo fighter is the street fighter will use any means necessary to win. Whereas somebody trained in a dojo or something like that will have those rules you were talking about engraved into their brain.
I don't care what weapon you have. I can kick your ass with my car Fu. Okay? Which is where if you're fool enough to come outside to fight me, I will hit you with a car.
And I have,
Ginger learned that one the hard way.
Yeah, and I have been known to practice the classic art of Ching Pao. I only get 14, maybe 15 if one punch is already ready to go, but I only get 15 punches.
Sorry, that's a different Ching Pao than what Ching I was Pao. Thinking. You said Ching Pao, started talking 14, 15. I'm thinking egg rolls, maybe some orange chicken, beef broccoli.
Combo 14 or 15.
Yeah,
don't even get me started on gamer fighting and combos. You ever listen to idiot gamers, especially guys that play like D&D, stuff like that, or my broken tabletop game of MX? Where they start talking about all these combo attacks that they want to do on people, and you're like, dude, you just hit that guy in the face like 3 times, and you have super strength? Pretty sure he's not standing for move number 4. Have you ever listened to somebody that trained in a dojo talk to you about the multiple combinations that they would do in an attack, not realizing that by the second move in this, your opponent's not standing still frozen in time?
Yeah. The other one that I actually just had ping into my mind thanks to this conversation is that the whole combo thing, like, and I've done this at gaming tables, and we'll be sitting there where we're gaming, and I've been in enough fights, like in schoolyard fights and bar fights, and after work that dude is a douche fight. I've been in enough of them that, you know, like street fighting, there's one way to win by any means necessary. You know, grab the guy by the cojones and lift up.
Oh, yeah, dude, I am not afraid to fondle a sack if it means I get the win.
Yeah, treat it like you would one of those paper towel rollers in the bathroom. You just grab, lift, and separate. But the thing is about it, though, is considering my experiences in real life and at the game table, we'll be sitting there, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, because we're sitting in this, I have time to think about it, of course, in-game. But I'm like, oh, well, you know, my character's dex is high enough, I can maneuver, and I'm going to go for the Achilles tendon. And they're like, but you got a stick. And I'm like, have you ever been hit in the back of the knees with a fucking stick? It hurts!
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, well, the guy's still standing there. I'm like, no, he wouldn't be. Let me go get a stick and show you how it's done. But I'll pull out maneuvers that, you know, are legitimate when you were in a bar fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the GM will be sitting there, and he's like, what's a gobbet rend? And I'm like, seriously, dude? Seriously? I have my hands on his neck already in character. I'm going for a gobbet rend. And they'll be like, well, what's that? And I'm like, dude. Have you really seriously? When's the last time? Like preschool? Come on.
So one of my other favorite things that I love to hear from people when it comes to street fights and shit like that is the idea that if I have a knife, I'm definitely going to win. I can't speak for anybody listening to this podcast, but I myself personally, I've been to prison. And I've watched a man in front of me get stabbed 70 times in the chest and abdomen region. He won that fight.
Ultra combo.
He had no weapon, because it turns out that when you stab somebody, unlike in the movies, they don't fall over and go, oh god, I've been stabbed, and they're incapacitated. You can actually take an ass ton of blades before you fall down.
Is that fight or flight instinct?
Oh, it's crazy. The adrenaline spikes. I think the record of guys that I've actually met in real life, so I'm not counting stories I've heard, but there was a guy in prison. He wound up getting shank attacked in the kitchen. He was stabbed over 140 times. This dude survived.
That's one tough motherfucker.
Either he's one tough motherfucker, or keep in mind that one of the things that like LARPers and stuff don't take into account is you have these things called ribs, and they form this cage, almost like a rib cage, if you will, around most of your vital organs.
I'm following.
You can get stabbed in the intestines tons of times. It turns out your intestine is actually really long, and
like
they can remove
miles?
Quite a, I have no idea. But they can remove quite a bit of it, and you'll still be fine. You can shake somebody in the stomach all day long. They can live as long as they don't lose too much blood.
Okay, I'm following you here. So, rib cage.
Rib cage.
Ah.
Cage of ribs.
Okay, okay.
Not to be mistaken with that strip club that Blasphemous likes to go to with all the dancers that have eating disorders.
Ah. Well, fortunately for me, I have never been stabbed as of yet, but I have been hit with blunt objects many, 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 many fucking times. And I think that's probably part of the reason why I survived that accident a few years back is my body has just become accustomed to like, oh, look, it's a hard object coming at me at high speed. Fuck it.
Speaking of blunt objects, I love that argument, too. Well, if I got hit in the head with a bat, what I would do is, you're not doing anything. You got hit in the head with a bat. You're lucky that you're not dead.
Yeah, no shit.
I believe it was it Mike Tyson? It may have been Mike Tyson who said, everybody has a plan in a fight until you get punched in the face.
He's fucking right on that one, dude.
I think he would know. He's punched a lot of faces. Yeah. Other fighters, dudes talking smack. An ex-wife, allegedly.
That bully that killed his first pigeon.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah, dude, come on.
Hey, no, we're giving her rightful.
Too soon.
Hey.
All right,
Disney
all right,
and Spirit soon. Science will copyright strike you, okay? Mike Tyson will just strike you.
Mike Tyson, this is my formal apology.
All right.
If he ever listens to this podcast, we have an apology to Mike Tyson.
You know what's funny is I don't think anybody famous will ever hear our podcast. But if somebody famous was listening, I would not put it past Mike Tyson.
Yeah, he's just, you know, up there, he's feeding the pigeons, he's having a good day, he's talking to his little birdies, and he always, like, listening to us, be like, yeah, they're right about the fighting cuffs. It is way different when somebody's throwing swings at you than if you're sitting there thinking about it.
Turns out he's got a hard-on for tabletop nerds that think they know how to fight. You know, so he's just been binge listening to anything on that topic.
It would not fucking surprise me, considering how many celebrities also are closet gamers.
All right, fair enough.
You know, it seems like every year another person comes out and they're like, yeah, I'm a gamer. And I'm like, wait, what? I mean, Dem Wiesel wasn't much of a surprise there, but some of the others.
You know what? Really quickly, you just mentioned celebrities, so it's got me thinking now. Because he's already crazy, okay? Not Vin Diesel. I'm talking about Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is already crazy. Everybody knows he's crazy, right? But do you think after all these action movies and all these stunt doubles and everything, do you think like he's got this overinflated idea in his brain of what he would do in a fight in real life?
Yeah. Maybe.
Like, do you think that he ever sits around and thinks like, if I was in this fight right now, what I would do is I'd Spartan kick that guy off that motorcycle, jump on it, drive sideways up this wall a little bit, disarm a bomb, and then kick his ass with one arm handcuffed up my butthole.
I don't know. He does a lot of wire work, and without the wires, he may have second thoughts.
You know, Scientology might have him being followed by a wire team at
but
all
on
times.
But on the same token, I'm sure that Donnie Yen may think about how he's going to take somebody down and probably can do
it. Oh my God, the Donnie Yen thing. Sorry, really quickly, Bruno, because I'm going to forget this. That's the other thing, too. I'm sick and tired of people that watch guys like Jet Li, Donnie Yen, and all of them that make these Asian martial arts movies and still think that those dudes would just wreck ass in a street fight. I'm not saying that Jet Li couldn't kick the holy shit out of me faster than I could say it, but I am telling you that at 358 fucking pounds, if Jet Li got within my arm's reach and I was able to grab Jet Li, I don't care how cool you thought the one was, I will fuck Jet Li up. One more person talk about how badass the actor who plays Ip Man is because he was badass in a scripted movie fight, I will strangle somebody. And not in the fun way that your mom likes your dad to do and then they have a safe word for it. There's no safe words when Fat Matt is choking a bitch.
Well, a lot of people also forget that a lot of these moves that they do... God damn it, I can't remember the dude's name. It's like Po Ying or whatever. I can't believe I forgot it. But a lot of the action that they do in front of the camera is all choreographed.
Well, yeah.
95% of it. It's very rare that they're just actually sparring in front of the camera.
These are the same people that, and I'm sorry to throw you under the bus, bro, but Sparta is very much one of these bros that watches wrestling and like they think that shit is like not choreographed. I actually, Big Baby Steve, good friend of ours, I ruined wrestling for him one day by mistake because I really feel like idiots need to be informed when shit is not what they think it is. I made him watch a pay-per-view event, and I showed him every time when they'll grab each other in like a headlock, and then you'll see he'll tap the other guy's hip to let him know, hey, I'm ready for you to pick me up and slam me. And like you'll watch as they go to pick him up, these guys will jump into their moves and shit like this. And There's this delusion going around with gamers and shit like that and all of the wrestling fans.
Yeah,
where they seem to think that choreographed shit is how it would happen in a real fight.
Hey, man, there are no such things as wires in movies. You don't realize that's just the flat earth, and these actors are so good that they can temporarily stop that upwards movement of the earth and make it flat so that way it seems like they're hovering.
If you were anybody else, I'd bust your nose for saying something so dumb, but I know you're trolling.
All right, look. Bruce Lee, possibly one of the greatest martial arts movie film dudes ever, right? I only know of one verified fight that he was in outside of a movie, and it broke his back. Right?
No, there was actually other ones he did when he actually
I said that I know of.
I'll show you videos sometime. I'll link them to you. But it's also the bringing wrestling into it, because I've seen gamers do it. They'll make wrestling characters, like in Dungeons & Dragons or whatever. You know, frog splash for 302 dice of damage. I'm like, how the fuck? But anyway, one of the other things, you know, about the whole wrestling deal is a great book written by Mankind, Mick Foley.
Right.
Is they were talking about how these wrestlers, you know, they'll get into their locks and they'll be holding on to each other. And Stone Cold Steve Austin and Royal, I'm not a big follower, but yeah, it's the British dude. Whatever his name, I don't follow WWE that much. So, but anyway, they would get into wrestling matches together, and of course, outside the ring, they're like dreaded enemies. You got America versus England, but inside the ring, you know, they're going at it, and these guys are actually really good friends, and they'll get into a headlock, and it looks like they're punching each other and shit, but actually, they're telling each other jokes in the ring.
Right.
Thousands of fans are watching, and they're trying to see the other guy break character while in the ring.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that wrestling's not entertaining. These guys are putting on an athletic show. It takes an extreme amount of stamina and endurance and agility to do what these guys are out there fucking doing. But idiots who have never been in a real fight seem to think that in a real fight, you know, Rey Mysterio Jr. is going to jump up on top of a bar stool and then Hurricane Rana somebody. That's not how a real street fight fucking
works.
Or
you could slap off... fucking chest slap somebody.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started on the titty slapping a guy into submission.
Yes, it does hurt, but it will not stun the guy to the point where he just stands in the turnbuckle.
Look, as a fat dude that's had his titty slapped, I can tell you right now that I don't care how buff you are, there's no amount of titty slapping you can do that results in me looking like I'm dazed, confused, and possibly roofied.
I do, however, want to see somebody give the people's elbow in a bar fight.
True.
Word.
But I do have to say, one person I think would actually be able to kick ass in real life in a fight, because he has before, is Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan is like 83 years old right now.
True.
The only thing that he's kicking in a fight at the moment is his insurance people, because they won't cover him anymore due to frail hips and stuff.
Yeah.
He's also fighting the law because his daughter is homeless.
Well, and his son's also currently in prison on drug trafficking charges. But anyways, here's the whole thing with the Jackie Chan thing, though, too. Like, dude, respect. Again, I'm not saying Jackie Chan couldn't kick my ass. If I got a hold of him, he definitely couldn't kick my ass. But for anybody that needs to be disillusioned, go back, look at any of his old movies, badass stunt stuff, watch the outtakes. You have any idea how often he screws up all that stuff? Like, people are like, I'm going to learn martial arts. I'm going to flip over this table, kick this chair into the air. Then I'm going to roundhouse kick the leg of the chair into your throat.
I know, the only one who's actually studied martial arts and moved to acting I think would whip my ass soundly is Tony Jaa. That's about it. But then again, it also comes back down to the argument between gamers and real fights is gamers have time to prepare their tactics, their strategy. They get to wait 2 to 10 minutes between their goddamn turn. They have time to like look at the board and be like, well, what I would do is, or when they're in a video game.
And do you know the biggest part, too? You know what doesn't happen to people when they're playing these video games or they're playing these tabletop games and stuff? They don't get tired between their turns. There's no fatigue.
They have time to set up, yeah. And they don't get sucker punched outside of a fucking bar by a Marine.
Right, right. You
know? Most of the fights that I've lost is because the other guy will creep up on me and fucking sucker punch me. Like, back in high school, you know, I might have been able to take the guy one-on-one because he threw a punch like a bitch. But at the same token, he snuck up behind me and said, hey, introduce head to locker repeatedly. Didn't see it coming. You don't have this going on in role-playing games unless they're the rogue. But even as a rogue, they still have a chance to sneak up, strategize, wait for the perfect opportunity, and that's not the way real life works.
I still hate people that think it's as simple as, well, you should have just dodged. Yeah, this isn't a high-budget action movie. He wasn't coming at me in slow motion.
True that. All right, so any last thoughts on this subject, guys? Because we are near the break time.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 times, if you roll dice, you can't throw fists.
Ouch, dude.
I said 9 out of 10. You're an exception.
Also, last note for me, in real street fights, most street fights that have been explained to me, they just click to black. It's not a thought, as we've been stating, it's not a thought thing. It's just when you get into that street fight, instinct kicks in and you just kind of black out and just go on that.
Right. It's stimuli and response.
They click to black.
Dude coming at me and you got to fucking defend yourself. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Blasphemous?
He's been on his phone this whole time. He doesn't even know what we're talking about anymore.
I've been trying to prep for the next section.
The only thing he's fighting is the urge to touch himself to whatever images he's looking at.
That was a video I looked at first, and no. All I gotta say is, comparatively, I've done some really great shit in MX. Roundhouse kicked the dragon. Could never happen, even if dragons were real.
Did you hear that if dragons are real thing? This is why gamers shouldn't be telling you what they would do during a fight.
It's actually pretty hard to throw a roundhouse. I don't even think I could do it anymore.
But remember,
I used to be able to when I was younger. I think if I tried to throw a roundhouse nowadays, the only thing I would throw is my hip out of place.
How were the 80s?
They were pretty phenomenal.
Dude, the 80s were fun. Me and friends back in school used to do roundhouses on each other in front of the teachers to get in trouble. The whole point was to block it before you got knocked over.
God, the 80s. Back when people thought ninjas could fight.
Well, that is all for segment one.
I see where you're going with that one. And that's another topic for another day, because we do not practice a meridote on the podcast.
Hey, I'm just saying, a meridote is the best of all, the worst of none. Master Ken has taught me, and this is applicable to this topic, that it's not the size of the groin in the battle, it's the size of the hand that's grabbing it.
Okay, break time. Back after that little bit of a pause and soundtrack thing to do Star Wars or Star Trek, we could talk about Picard coming back.
Yeah, por qué no los dos?
They forced him to actually take the role, from what I understand.
How can anybody force Patrick Stewart to do anything? Where were his X-Men?
Well, apparently they...
He fired him.
Apparently the studio owns him in a way, because like they proposed, from what I understand, on the rumor mill, Scuttlebutt says.
Gotcha.
Time Warner, or whoever the fuck owns it now, approached Patrick Stewart because Star Trek Diversity is a failure. And Stewart.
STD?
Yeah, STD. Woo. Wow. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
really? Fucking A. Holy shit. Dude, I'm a gamer. I'm usually like elsewhere, like, you know, killing dragons and shit, because I need more souls. Anyway, rumor has it that the studio approached Patrick Stewart and said, hey, we got this Star Trek idea. We want you to be, like, Captain Picard, reprise your role, do it again. And Stewart was like, make it no, number one. Ah, see what I did there? Oh, nice. And the studio apparently came back and ham-fisted it and said, no, you're doing it. And now he's reprising his role as Captain Picard.
Well, I thought the whole thing, we're in a different universe now.
Well, yeah, that was the whole reset thing after.
Yes, but when your universe starts failing, you go back to the only solid good thing you ever had.
But will Disney do that with Star Wars? I doubt it.
Well, of course not. That would be good. They can't do good.
But apparently Kathleen Kennedy is on the ropes now, looking at getting her job lost.
That will be good. That needs to happen.
And directors are turning down any Star Wars related scripts. I think they're going to have to rely on tried and true Jar Jar Abrams, even though he's insulted the Star Wars fan base vehemently.
But not as bad as the hack.
Oh, Rian Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they're both kind of in the same boat with me, you know, for the bullshit that they pulled. But yeah, their whole lineup. They're like, well, we're not making any more sidebar movies, so no Obi-Wan, no Boba Fett, no Salacious Crumb, a Star Wars story. Although that would be a really badass movie, because, I mean, he would just sit there on Jabba's tail and laugh. Kids would love it.
Yeah, well, kids and potheads. Bruno could watch that thing for hours.
Yeah. Uta guta solo.
If I was to watch that, I would have to be dabbing, not smoking weed. There's no way I can watch that just on weed. That's not enough.
It would be like a really twisted version of like the Grown Ups version or some shit of Teletubbies.
God.
You know, it'd just be like Teletubbies on Tatooine and you got Salacious Crumb just laughing and, you know, uh-oh.
Jesus. Now I'm just picturing that baby head son, but two of them.
Two of those baby head sons giggling.
Why? Why? It's in my head.
I know, right?
Oh.
I mean, at the rate Star Wars is going now, they can just remix the Teletubbies theme song, you know, and put the Star Wars Splash logo intro scroll over it, and it would work, because they've gone that far down the tubes.
I mean, yeah, at this point, Star Wars could literally squeeze my fat ass into some robes and just let me unscripted do a bunch of crap, and it would be better than what they've been pushing out.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Mark Hamill is returning for episode 9.
Which, really, I refuse to get my hopes up. But I have to say, after him talking about being done with Star Wars, J.J. Abrams had to have said some crazy shit to him on the phone to get him to come back.
Apparently, he signed a 3-movie deal, and Jar Jar Abrams had in the pipe some footage of pre-dead Carrie Fisher that was thrown on the cutting room floor that Rian Johnson did not want to use. So apparently they're going to rabbit hole this shit and do some retconning to...
The only old footage I want of Carrie Fisher is when she was younger being thrown on the cutting room floor. But they're not going to release that video.
Well, that's also another conspiracy, and I don't want to get into that because it's tinfoil hat. And with certain conspiracy theories going down, I don't want to talk about the Carrie Fisher conspiracy that nobody's talking about.
I believe the Q, not UQ, the other Q, the question... And all this, it's not conspiracy theories, it's conspiracy theory. One.
Okay, that guy...
Unified conspiracy this, theory?
Okay, yes. Whoa. We can talk about Q after the podcast, because that guy, or guys, are not Star Wars related.
True, I will admit that.
And unless it's all connected.
I don't trust him. Q's too good to be true, and what would happen if this big plan that Q has tanks?
Then fair Disney enough. Wins?
Because the way that the all the posts and the QAnon stuff is going is Q making it sound like they're winning the whole fucking time. But we're not prepared for the eventuality and possibility of a fail. So anyway, Star Wars, another fail. Back on topic here.
So the big stuff they got coming up, supposed live action series centered on Mandalore. Sounds interesting. What was it? The Clone Wars being brought back for a Disney streaming service only final season.
Yeah, I'm going to torrent that.
It's a FBI, Disney streaming.
If you're listening, I am going to torrent that.
I was going to.
They're
going to
be Disney streaming that only.
I'm just saying. At this point, I will willingly go with the FBI and spend time in prison before I will give Disney any more of my money Star Wars related.
And see, that's how much fans now hate Disney. This is like one of the biggest Star Wars fans ever in the room.
Both literally and physically.
Exactly. And now you're willing to risk federal internment and a fine because Star Wars has just gone that badly. It's horrible. Now that when the fucking prequel trilogy came out, yes, it felt like I was a spouse being repeatedly beaten and going back going, well, maybe it'll be better next time. Only to get beaten down again. But even now, you know, I look back at that and I'm like, comparatively, the old trilogy wasn't that bad in comparison to what they're trying to pull now with the new story.
Look, I just can't tell which one of the fucking of my childhoods was worse when I was literally raped when I was 12 or what Disney has done to Star Wars. I don't know which one has fucked my childhood worse.
And the weird part is, Jar Jar Binks has been like the punching bag since day one of The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, he ain't so bad anymore.
Yeah.
No. I still want to kill him with a bloody axe.
Playing Star Wars Galactic fucking whatever the shit mobile game, people actually rated Jar Jar Binks higher as a new character add-on that they wanted in replacement of Rose Tico.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'm like, damn.
At least Jar Jar, like,
had redeeming qualities.
He had no redeeming qualities, but at least you can describe his personality without use of the word bipolar.
And he was part of the plot.
He was consistently retarded.
He was consistently retarded, and he was written in specifically to have his role help drive the story forward. Even though badly, he still had a reason to be there.
Yeah, he was that character that was taken advantage of because of his naivety.
I'm still trying to figure out the physics of how Rose Tico, in a straight line, Finn is running towards the big Death Star gun that's been miniaturized. This is his moment to be a fucking hero and go out like a man. That is a good death. Save his buddies, go out like a man, die for what he believes in, that he's gone from heel to face. And somehow, at maximum speed, Rose Tico still manages to get ahead of him and then turn 90 degrees and fucking T-bone him.
I see the problem and we're going to address it. All right?
Okay.
The problem in that situation, bro, did you just assume his gender?
And then after that, she rapes him on screen, literally rapes him.
No consent.
She makes physical, intimate contact with no.
Did you see how he was dressed?
Whoa. How he was dressed doesn't mean anything nowadays. Nothing. He was not dressed to be raped by Rose Tico.
Whoa!
There was no consent there.
Whoa!
None.
Nobody said he dressed to be raped. Why is that even running through your head right now?
Because
I was talking about his culture. Clearly, he identifies with the Wookiees, bro. They consent differently with their eyes.
No, they don't.
No, but with the way Star Wars is going right now, they might as well. That could be written in any moment.
No. Besides, during intimate moments now, with the way things are going, every time she touches him, she has to ask for his consent.
No, because
every time.
30 seconds ago, they changed canon again, so we're good.
And besides, Wookiees can't consent with their eyes. I've seen the Star Wars Holiday Special. There was no consent between those Wookiees by I'm, like, looking.
We had an agreement that we would not talk about this again.
See? Okay, just really quickly, that still blows my mind that Boba Fett was introduced in that, not New Hope, like I originally thought.
That blows your mind? You want to know what blows my mind? Chewbacca's dad is basically wanking off to space porn, right? But check it out. Was that a dancing Wookiee bitch in that holo recording? Hell no. It's a human chick, which means that his dad's into interspecies erotica.
Whoa, there's a lot of humans who are into Twi'leks.
Maybe, but have you ever jerked off to a face hugger?
Yes.
Would you like Bruno to hug your face while I jerk off?
No, not that face. No. Not that face hugger. I'm talking like the cool one. you know, Xenomorph action, little, you know, all the apocalypse.
I don't know, I just had to put something in your head that's as horrible as you talking about that damn movie.
It actually wasn't that horrible, and I have jerked off
that movie. Was that horrible, but then they started doing these new ones, and it's slowly getting better by comparison.
And worse is the new movie that tanked, Solo, made Holiday Special canon. Because they brought back characters from the fucking special. So, Neener.
I'm not touching your wiener.
Chicken dinner.
Ugh. Blasphemous has completely disengaged.
Basically, you guys have gone too
he's
far.
He's been sitting on his phone this whole time, and I've shown my penis to enough women to know the look of disappointment on his face.
And the fucked up part is he's supposed to be the co-pilot of the podcast.
Yeah, but a co-pilot's got to know when he's got to go get a cup of tea and let the other people argue.
Do you see what he's doing right now? What he's doing right now is exactly what the people that are supposed to be pre-reading all the scripts and everything over at Star Wars have been doing. They're just sitting back on their phone thinking about the money going, yeah, whatever, dude. That sounds great.
Yeah, he's just, here's a few ideas. I'm instigating. Let you guys go. Yeah.
Next, Disney is going to start cutting costs by only shooting everything in one take.
They actually did that with that stupid fight with Rey, Kylo Ren, and all those wannabe dudes dressed in red. And because of that, if you go back and watch that fight in slow motion, you can clearly see the spots where she completely misses. The guys fall down anyways. The timing of the fight is all off. But they thought it would look amazing if they did it in one take. And so because of that, it caught all the mistakes in the choreography.
Yeah, well, CinemaSins have kind of already ruined that for me. I see that anyways.
The Crimson Guard are supposed to be the best of the best of the best space point with honors, sir. They should have put up a challenge.
These aren't the Crimson Guard. These are the pre-gender guards.
Oh.
Like, as long as you can't judge what they are based on any form of physical feature, then they're guarding their gender, and therefore they have succeeded even in death.
But hold on. You just said space point with honors, sir. Don't you mean with honors, sir?
No, I do not. I'm sorry.
I hate that.
I'm from the 80s where we had two genders and people with genetic mutations that made them kind of a little different, but they still associated primarily with one of the main two.
To be clear, that's still all we have. And then you have idiots running around that want to add special titles to everything to feel better. I will acknowledge more than two genders when you can whip out something other than a penis or a vagina.
Yeah,
I can whip out something that's not a penis or a vagina, but it won't be attached.
I'm sorry, my mind instantly went to, you know, like, hentai and shit, and still, it's all penis or vagina or penis with vagina.
Or tentacle. Right,
tentacle. Or tentacle.
Tentacle's just a metaphor for a penis. Everybody knows
this. I know.
Damn Puritans.
Do you see how bad Star Wars has gotten so bad that we're now talking about tentacle ring?
Yeah.
Because apparently that is more interesting right now than whatever's going on with Star Wars at the moment.
Hey, Star Wars does have tentacle rape, the Sarlacc pit.
Dude, trying to figure out what they're doing with Star Wars right now is a lot like my girlfriend trying to figure out what my next move in bed's going to be. You're not sure, but you're pretty sure it's not going to live up to expectations.
Correction.
And it wasn't worth paying for.
The Sarlacc pit was gore, not tentacle rape.
So. It was a little bit of both. It had tentacles before the vor.
Okay.
And it has tentacles inside to hold you in. This so it's kind of, exactly yeah. How I see your this. Point, though. I'd say, yeah, a combination of both.
Okay, yeah.
I know how we end this. We talk about one space fantasy series we can all enjoy, The Orville, and how awesome it is.
I can't wait for season two.
Okay, speaking of The Orville, you know that character, the big brain character, the captain can never remember his name? Oh, hey! I saw the trailer for STD, and I saw a character in the background, and that was like, oh my god, that's exactly where they stole it from.
Yeah, because Star Wars is so exciting. We're now talking about Orville Season 2, which, from what I understand, is supposed to be more Star Trek-y and less comedy.
Hey, you know what? It's more Star Wars than Star Wars has been in the recent years.
That's more shit.
Star Trek. Star Trek.
It's more Star Trek than Star Trek,
well,
yeah.
Of course.
Oh, we need Rob Zombie to remix that. You know, more Star Trek than Star Trek. More Star Trek than Star Trek.
I would agree with you, except I've seen what happens when you let Rob Zombie near anything involving cameras.
Okay, legit.
Nah.
Score one for Matt.
But yeah, I mean, the Orville is such a well-made show. Yes, first episode. The comedy is a little
But it was still well made. They had an idea of what they were going to do. They had their whole, everything is condensed into a single episode, and there's small things that continue from the next to the next.
Which is typical of a series when it first starts. Almost every episode is very episodic. You could look at Smallville, for example. It was Villain of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
The first season of Gotham, Villain of the Week. Most series, when they start off, even the original Star Trek, you know, they did have a few things that rolled over from one episode to the next to come down to a big conclusion, but it was still fairly contained episodes.
But that's a lot of the episodes and series we enjoyed in our youth. You guys are a lot older than me, so it's farther back. But think about the shows you really love back in the day. A single episode usually told you a single story, and you were happy with it and seemed to enjoy it. You guys keep reminiscing about shit. So, like,
I only reminisce about MASH because of the three stations that I had. And I'm not fucking throwing hyperbole here. I lived out in the middle of BFE fuck nowhere with a pair of rabbit ears on a black and white TV, okay? And I'm not saying this because I was old. I'm saying this because that was the only TV that they gave me when they got the color TV. They're like, you have the black and white one, kiddo. Fucking parents. But anyway. MASH was like one of the TV shows that came in. So yes, I reminisce about MASH because it's like 2 years of my life. That's all I had to watch.
And I don't reminisce. It just keeps running through my brain because it's actually legit tied to things that happen in my everyday life. One of the most reoccurring characters on MASH is a hairy white dude with a beard in women's clothing going off about how crazy he is.
Just so he can get discharged.
I
love that dude.
With Bruno, who is a hairy white guy with a beard who wears women's clothes and talks about how crazy he is. And
I'm a pretty, pretty princess.
And no, Colonel Potter was actually the closest thing I had to a character that was relatable because he reminded me of a family member I had that acted very similar. So, yeah. But Orville, not Star Trek.
Here's what I like about Orville, okay?
Okay.
I like that Orville has all the same bullshit diversity stuff that they have in everything else. All the transgender stuff that's all popular and pop culture and stuff today. And all that crap. Except the difference between the Orville and shit like Star Trek Discovery, the STD of all Star Treks, is it doesn't feel forced on the Orville. You know what I mean? It's just fucking there. They don't feel the need to explain it to you. They're not trying to cram it down your throat. It's just there, and it lets you comfortably absorb and get used to it to where the message comes across without it being virtue signaled and rammed down your throat.
There are two things I like about the Orville right off the bat, and one was it's not an exposition machine, which is what turned me off of Star Trek, the old series. Like, every time they do something, they always talk about, like, this computer or this tool. They're always doing a shitload of exposition. Season one, I could go with that, you know, because the viewer needs to, you know, kind of learn what they're talking about or whatever. And then after that, they should exposition a lot less. But every conversation they have, you know, well, if we take the hydro spanner thing and you ram it into the dilithium hydro matrix, and I'm like, you're talking to the fucking captain. He should know these fucking things because it's right. The job of the captain to know his fucking ship. So why are you explaining all this instead of, yes, sir, I've got an idea that involves this, this, and this. And the captain would be like, I see where you're going, go. And the Orville doesn't do very much in the way of exposition. They just get right to the point.
Well, and when they do exposition, it's great. Where, like, when they were explaining the alien dudes they're fighting the first couple episodes, the pale skin guys who can't, you know, be in direct sunlight, otherwise they burn. And they don't explain it by getting into all their history and stuff like that. They're just like, look, these guys are UV intolerant. So you're saying we're fighting space vampires? We're fighting space vampires.
Exactly.
One of my big things I like about the Orville as well is the characters on the ship. The relations between them don't seem forced, don't seem robotic. It seems like, you know, it seems like they actually have real-life
relations. Before I forget, this is something you and me were talking about in the car the other day. I think the reason why the Orville, in my opinion, is superior to Star Trek is Star Trek takes place in the much-distant future, where apparently everybody's on a high fucking moral horse, and they don't talk and act like regular human beings. Like, they talk and act like these moral superior fucking demigods compared to everyone else. Whereas in the Orville, it literally just seems like they took massive technological fucking advancements and gave them to the assholes that are normal everyday people. So on the show, they talk, act, and respond, and interact with each other Like normal fucking people.
I always drink a soda when I'm piloting.
Right?
Yeah.
But here's what I love the most, though. It's not overly human-centric.
That's no! What? Hell no! Yeah. There's aliens in, like, almost every scene of that show when they're on the ship unless two people are alone.
And the second thing I like about it, and this kind of touches based on what you mentioned earlier, is the storylines themselves touch on a lot of the stuff that we're going on. You know, it's commentary on many of the modern-day things we're going through. But at the same token, it's kind of sneaky how they shove in the hidden messages of morality.
Not only that, but I like that with their morality messages, more often than not, sorry to cut you off, more often than not, they leave it morally ambiguous.
Yeah, my favorite episode for that was when the Mocklins have their kid.
Yes!
And they decide, well, we're going to let the kid decide what they want to be. We're going to let them grow up. And the government's like, no, they're getting the surgery.
Well, remember, they didn't want to let the kid grow up be what it wanted to be. What the main husband, the one that's part of the crew, wanted to do that, but it was his partner that was with the government on the, no, we need the surgery.
Yeah, but at the same token, at the very end of it, though, they both agreed, you know, let the baby be what the baby's going to be. You know, let them choose their own destiny, you know.
Right.
Parents making a choice for their kid. And the government steps in and says, no, they're getting the surgery, and they pass the vote and all that shit. But it did give a message that I think very few people caught on to, is at what point do the parents' rights end?
Right.
In the choices of what their children can do, and the government's choices begin.
I think one of the best episodes they did that commentated on current events was the upvote episode, where everyone walks around with a badge.
The upvote.
Because that's how society is with our social media. People with tons of downvotes, fucking ostracized or kicked off of online. People with all the upvotes are, you know, super popular.
Use the terminology kicked off. Otherwise, narcissists will appear at any moment to nitpick that and tell you about how since they didn't literally use their foot, it's not technically kicked off of anything.
That's another nice thing about the Orville I also like. It's like every episode seems to center on a specific character.
It's just usually the same.
You get to see kind of more of each character with each different episode, so you get more of their backstory, who they are. And it gives you, like I said, a better understanding of each character.
Yeah, the Alara fear trading episode was really
cool. That was sick.
That was fucking awesome. I still also, like that. Boris comes in, he's like, the crocodile has been taken care of.
Right? Yes, love that. But that's the other thing, too, is the physically strongest person on that ship is this tiny little female. And so it's got, like, that subtext of female empowerment. But they don't cram it down your fucking throat with a feminist agenda. From the beginning. The strongest person on the ship is this little chick. That's it.
Not only that, but they did make kind of a hat tip, in a way, towards... shit! My brain just farted.
Oh, it smells.
I know, right?
Poor life choices.
I know, poor life choices. No, shit! I had it!
I don't know.
Affirmative action.
Okay.
Because she got onto the crew because she got fast-tracked in.
Right.
Because very few members of her race joined the union.
Right.
So she got fast-tracked into her position even though she was woefully unprepared for it. So they make kind of a little bit of a jab towards affirmative action going, hey, here's somebody who can't do the job, but they're getting it anyway.
Right.
No, see, I really enjoy when they dug more into her backstory in that Fear episode.
Yeah.
She calls her parents, and they're all about, oh, well, you should just go back to school, you know. It's all just about living in through the college, and then you become a teacher and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, I'm going to do the military thing. Fuck off. Because that's all it seems to be these days. People get into college just to be in college, and they want the experience, and that becomes their fucking life.
Ah, yes, humans. The hillbillies of the universe.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. That was a good line, though. I also like the mix of different comedy styles they bring in, because they have the slapstick, like when Isaac pranked his shipmate.
Hey, cutting somebody's leg off in their sleep and hiding it is not a prank.
Well, still, I mean,
new leg.
Well, they got the Mr. Potato Head stuff, they've got the pranking going on, and they've got Isaac, who's the fish out of water.
The feeding of the ooze dude's little beast to Mortis.
Hey,
remember when they were tossing around the middle ball with the captain and the spikes shoot out and stab him through the hands?
Yeah.
That's how you win.
That's how you win.
And what was that? Wasn't that Muckluck?
Yes,
Muckluck.
Muckluck!
And of course, Bordis is, you know, your deadpan comedy.
Right? I love how he's probably the best parody of Mr. Worf I have ever seen. You know?
Yeah.
It is phenomenal how
except,
they did him.
Except he doesn't remind you every episode of his alien species.
Right, right. Well, and that's the other great thing, too, is I love that he's the physically biggest guy on the ship. Is not the strongest. Nowhere near.
Nowhere near.
But he does kill an alligator.
He has the strongest stomach.
Oh, so that's the thing that I love, is when they take the, I can't remember the black guy's name, the one that was,
the navigator who went the engineer.
He was one of the co-navigators, and it turns out that he's the second smartest guy on the ship. The only person smarter than him is the goddamn AI, alright? And he just has no aspirations for doing anything.
No ambition
because
whatsoever.
Because they live in a world where everyone's basically getting paid the same to do all the same stuff. And so, you know, it touches on that subject of, well, if I'm getting paid no matter what I'm doing, why wouldn't I do the easiest, most simplistic job on the ship?
With my buddy.
Which is another jab at Star Trek because they're,
right?
Know, they're the communist starship where everyone right. gets everything for free and all your needs are taken care of.
Right, everyone gets everything for free. What's to prevent me from telling the captain I don't feel like doing my job today?
I think the only time Star Trek really delved into that I can remember of is when Picard visits his father. And his father, you know, is all pissy at him and shit. And he's like, you don't know what real work is.
That's
know?
Not his father. That's his brother.
Oh, his brother. Yeah,
his brother. Like, I love that shit with his brother. He's like, you fly around the fucking ship all day, point at shit, saying, make it so. It's like, I work in a damn farm.
Yeah.
He worked in a vineyard.
Yeah, he worked in a vineyard.
A vineyard is a farm, thank you. Yeah. It just happens to be a farm for drunks.
Winos.
Why?
Vinos.
Hey, if everybody's getting paid the same, why not get drunk while you're working?
I'm just saying, if everyone's paying the same, why would I do the manual labor job?
Exactly. And this is the exact reason why communism fails.
Oh, we're going to get flagged for that one. Thanks, Bruno.
Yeah, no problem.
Doesn't work either.
Hey! Bruno is multiracial, so they might have to let it slide. He also dresses in women's clothing, and he's a furry.
He was talking smack about communism, which has only shown that it has a massive success rate. And communism does have a success rate. Mal the Butcher, right?
He successfully killed a bunch of people.
Pol Pot.
Successfully killed a
Joseph
bunch of people.
Joseph Stalin.
Successfully killed a bunch of people.
Fidel Castro.
Successfully killed a bunch of people.
Boom!
Okay, stand corrected. Wait. I actually got to stand up. I stand corrected.
Yeah, these guys cure hunger by killing people.
That's a fact, dude. Those people never ate again after that. They didn't have to.
Exactly.
And really, if you break the word down, communism, it's all about communicating with nudists. What dude doesn't want to talk to some nudists?
Well, if you were a nudist, no.
Yeah. I'm nude under these clothes right now.
I know.
Don't make me take my shirt off.
God,
Jigglypuff!
No.
So yeah, that's our Star Wars rant. Talking about it.
Yeah. You know what? It had about as much to do with Star Wars as the recent Star Wars has had to do with Star Wars.
And see, this is what Star Wars is lacking right now, is we just switch topics to Orville, and everybody fucking lights up and gets excited. We're talking about our favorite things. We're pointing out moments where we're like quipping, you know, lines out of the show.
Oh my god, why didn't I think of this really quickly? The lead guy on the Orville, fucking Seth MacFarlane, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's our cure. We need to hire him to come in and do fucking episode 10. See, it's the only thing that I finally think I thought of something that could save Star Wars. And it's to let Seth MacFarlane come in and make fun of it.
If Kubrick was still alive, I'd say him, but, you know, he's not.
He wouldn't do it anyways. He has standards.
Well, yeah. No, Kubrick would be an issue because the production costs would go through the roof because he would actually want to film it in space.
Yeah.
He's like, this is going to be legit. We're going to have real lasers on real ships.
I mean, Hitchcock? I'm just trying to get a scene with Ray in the shower. Kylo Ren's outside with his lightsaber going on. What up?
Kylo Ren with a thing of toothpaste. Ree.
Actually, no, I take it back. With the way that they've been bending everything, they would probably wind up having freaking Kylo Ren be the one in the shower, so yeah. I take it back. I'm good.
It's pretty funny, though, because we start out on a Star Wars rant, and we move into Trek slightly, and then we get into the Orville and light up. And my point is, nobody's really excited about Star Wars anymore.
No.
The only excitement we get out of Star Wars is trashing it.
Well, and that's why I refer to number 7 as Star Wars, the last one I'll pay for.
I didn't even pay for it. I watched the chauvinist version.
Did you even pay for it?
No, that was 8 you watched the chauvinist version.
Oh, 8 I watched the chauvinist version, yeah.
I'm not answering that question. Legal reasons.
Why, you've already thrown the gauntlet down to the FBI about torrenting shit.
That's because I would rather torrent and go to prison than pay them for that goddamn stuff.
Yep. Any last thoughts on Star Wars Orville?
It'd be awesome if they let Seth MacFarlane be in charge. One movie's all we need. One movie. Just let the fans smile for one goddamn movie.
As long as the blonde is in it, because goddamn I love her.
You know what? I didn't even think about it if they just grabbed the cast from the Orville and used them.
The shit that came out of her mouth during the torture scene?
You know what? We're not even going to change their species. They'll be all the same species that they are in there. We're just going to film them in a Star Wars movie.
That, oh my god, dude. Okay, my last thought on it. And they're talking about diversity in the new Star Wars. You know, they're like, oh, it's going to be more diverse. We need more gays and lesbians and transgenders and people of colors and all that stuff. Where are all the aliens? Because the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy had a fuck ton of aliens.
No, I'm still on this Orville thing because I think I could actually appreciate shit a lot more if we melt down C-3PO and we bring in the goddamn robot from the Orville.
We bring in Isaac.
Now to swing this all back to the question, the conspiracy theory. This is my conspiracy theory. The Orville will be the show that actually brings Star Trek and Star Wars into one canon universe.
Oh, it's happening in somebody's fan fiction tonight.
Oh, it's already happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and in their porn fiction.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I got something to look up.
It's just that, oh my god, dude, you remind me of the scene of Yaphet with the doctor.
Yeah.
It's just, oh my god. I was just like, my fucking brain exploded. I'm like, they're showing this on TV?
Yeah.
This is like the kind of crap I'd find like on the dark corners of the interwebs.
It's how I picture blasphemous sex life.
I'll be a green sign.
Just gelatinously around a woman.
J-E-L-L.
Damn, dude, you are really unleashing the hate on blasphemous.
I'm just saying!
Well, he's got to get his Mexican hate out while he can before they deport us all, right? According to my cousin, we're all going to get deported.
They can't deport you if you keep getting bigger. They won't be able to fit you in the van.
When Thanos snaps his fingers, you're only going to lose half your weight. Okay, that's
sitting
it
on
for
the edge
our
of that
episode.
Chair, you look like you're in sumo position.
We're done. We're done.
Are we out?
We are out.
Peace. All right, everybody. Chatelet.
Chatelet. Keep on gaming.
Are you ready? Different.